We have been looking at three probing questions with tragic possibilities. The first probing question is this: is it possible to seek Jesus and not go where He is? According to verses 21 to 24, it is possible to seek Him and not go where He is. The second probing question is this: is it possible to see Jesus and not even know who He is? That probing question is answered in verses 25 to 29. Yes, it is possible to see Him. It is possible to be with Him. It is possible to even be fed by Him and still not know who He is. The third probing question is the one we're going to look at this morning. Is it possible to believe in Jesus and not be His disciple? And the answer is this: it is possible to believe in Him in the way that these Jews believed in Him and not even be His disciple. In all three of these probing questions, the answer is tragic. It is possible for a man or a woman to be seeking Him and not be saved. It is possible for someone to see Him and not be saved. It is possible for someone to believe in Him and not be saved. You say, wait a second, whosoever believeth, yes. But I want you to see the difference between that and what we're looking at this morning. It is possible to believe in Him and not be His disciple. Know what it says in verse 30. As He spake these words, many believed on Him, and yet Jesus goes on to say, to those Jews which believed on Him. Do you see that in verse 31? He is talking to the Jews who believe on Him. And He says this: if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. So it is possible to believe on Him and not be His disciple. Not every person who professes to believe in Christ is actually a disciple of Christ. You've heard that from this pulpit before. As you read your Bible, you will begin to understand that not every man or woman who professes to believe in Christ actually is a disciple of Christ. How do you know then if somebody really is a disciple of Christ? How do you know if somebody truly is saved? We see in verse 30 that many believed. We hear today of many so-called professions of faith, many so-called conversions. We hear people say, I accepted Christ as my Savior. How do you know if you can believe Him? Are we to be critical in a good way? Are we to be fruit inspectors where we say, oh, that's great, I want to see some fruit? There's so much easy believism. Do you know what easy believism is? I'll just say this prayer and you'll be saved. Where in the Bible does it say a prayer and you'll be saved? Yeah, some people, how do you know that you're on your way to heaven and that your sins are forgiven? Well, I said a prayer. Really? Many people have said a prayer and they are relying on the prayer. It's easy believism. Oh, all you got to do is this. Why does Jesus constantly talk about counting the cost? Because there is a cost to being a Christian. Somebody says, I'm a Christian. And we're not supposed to dispute that. We're just supposed to accept it. Do you realize that when the Apostle Paul, when his name was Saul, when he was saved, that he went to Jerusalem and the disciples, the Bible says, I believe this is Acts 9:26, somewhere in there, the disciples believed not that he was a disciple. And yet today we have this kind of an idea that, well, if somebody says he's a Christian, well, I just have to take him by his word. You know, one of the greatest benefits to Christendom would be to unmask the professing believers what they actually are. Hey, let me illustrate it this way. What would be really good for our country right now? If we could unmask the people who claim to be Americans but are Marxists. Wouldn't that be good for our country? Say, look at that hypocrite. He claims to be an American. He's not. Now listen, That would do our country tremendous benefit. You know what would benefit the church tremendously? Is if professing believers would be unmasked. If their mask of Christianity, there's nothing down here, if their mask of Christianity would be peeled away and you would see them for who they really are. And by the way, sometimes you can see them for who they really are when it's not Sunday. The believing in verse 30 affected only the mind. It did not affect the heart. They would know that Jesus is the I am, as you see in verse 28, but they would not actually believe that he is the I am, as we see in verse 24. Their hearts were unchanged. But people can tell you they believe. How do you know? Well, I want to present something to you this morning that I call the principle of abiding. Or I have called it the meno principle. The meno principle. Meno is the Greek word translated in verse 31, continue. So if I were to read verse 31 with the Greek word, it would read this way. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye meno in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. We would transliterate meno, M-E-N-O, meno. Why am I using the Greek word? Because somehow that may stick in your minds, and I want it to stick. Meno, the meno principle. Number one, I want us to see the quality of meno. It's found in those three words, if ye continue. Notice something. Jesus does not right away accept these new believers as converts. Instead, he puts them to the test. Notice he says, then, in verse, then, the Bible says, then, in verse 31. It means, therefore. It indicates he has something to say to the many of verse 30 who believed on him. And he says, if. So here's the evidence of true belief. If ye continue, that word continue is the word meno. It is also translated in John chapter 15, abide. Do you remember the abide passage in John 15? Abide in me and I in you. All through John 15, he uses the word abide. Same word continue here. So it means to continue, to abide, to remain. The word implies that there are obstacles to be overcome. Why would Jesus say continue unless there were obstacles? The Christian life is full of obstacles. That's why you see people who profess salvation later on dropping by the wayside. They could not continue because they came up against an obstacle. It's like we see in the parable of the soils. Jesus said that a sower went forth to sow. Some fell on good ground, some fell upon stony ground, some upon thorns. And he listed these four soils. What happens? The word has been sown. But now the question is, will you continue in his word that has been sown? And what is the rocky soil? And what does the soil with the thorns and so forth, and the soil that the devil is able to come and take it right away. What do those things indicate? It indicates this. The word is sown. Persecution comes along. And he discontinues. The seed is sown and the thorns grow up with it. The cares of this life, riches, persecutions. And he discontinues. That's why Jesus says, if ye continue, it is the opposite of quitting. Quitting should not be in a Christian's vocabulary. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We read in Galatians 6:9, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Quitting is not in a Christian's vocabulary. Jesus says, if ye continue. Meno. That word meno is used over 100 times in the New Testament. But there's one writer who uses it more than half those times, more than 50 times. One of the writers of the New Testament uses it. It is the Apostle John. Right here in his gospel, he uses that word at least 30 times. In his three short epistles, how many chapters in 1 John? First John. Five chapters. How many chapters are in 2 John? One. How many chapters are in 3 John? So you've got seven chapters. And in those seven short chapters, he uses the word meno more than 20 times. In the book of Revelation, he uses it once. I want us to note one of those times he uses it in his epistle. Would you go with me to 1 John 2 and verse 19? I have heard this verse misapplied. 1 John 2:19. I've heard this verse misused by, if you leave someone's church, then they quote this verse. And that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about somebody who was never in the faith. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have what? There's the word meno. They would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Meno. They would no doubt have menoed with us. They would have stayed with us. They would have remained with us. They would have abided with us. But they quit. We know that once you're saved, you're always saved, because God will continue the work of salvation in you. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But not only will God continue to perform the work of salvation, guess what? The Christian too will continue the work of salvation. Where do you find that? Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If a man or a woman is truly indeed saved, he will constantly be working out his salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean, that he is constantly working to be saved? Not at all. It is simply saying that the salvation he already has is being worked out in his life. And that will be one of the evidences of his salvation. Meno is evidenced by the character of a person. If ye continue, and I've listed at least three things. Number one, it is evidenced by stability. Somebody who is a continuer, somebody who is an abider, is known for stability. Not somebody who is double-minded. This is somebody who is steadfast. Somebody who will not move. Somebody who has absolutes. Somebody who is established. It's like Jesus when he gave the parable of the man who built his house upon the rock and the man who built his house upon the sand. One was well established. Stability will characterize a person who is known for meno. Secondly, predictability will be known by a person who continues. You know what they will do. You know what they will not do. Have you ever had anybody say to you, I knew you wouldn't do it because I know you're a Christian? Or have you had somebody say to you, I knew you would do it because you're a Christian? Predictability. That's continuance in God's word. For some people, you can honestly say that, oh, he would never do that. For others, if given the chance, they would do anything. Proverbs 24:21 says, meddle not with them that are given to change. He's the same in whatever setting you find him. The same man at work as he is in church on Sunday morning. The same young person he is in school as he is on Sunday morning. The same predictability. That characterizes someone who is characterized by meno. Thirdly, dependability. Someone who has the character of meno is dependable. If he says he will do it, he does it. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. once said, the greatest ability is dependability. Now, if the greatest ability is dependability, there are many Christians who are disabled because you cannot depend upon them. But here we see the quality of meno, if ye continue. In short, perseverance is a mark of true faith. It is not how someone begins. It is how they finish. Somebody gets saved. They're excited. They're emotional. And they ought to be. But you know something? It's not how you start. It's how you finish. The quality of Menno is continuance. I want you to see, secondly, the object of Menno. Because we have to ask ourselves, well, if ye continue in what? Continue in what? This is the very heart of the Menno principle. If ye continue in my word. This separates fickle disciples from genuine disciples. A genuine disciple, ladies and gentlemen, will continue, but not just in anything. It doesn't say, if ye continue in church. Because you can belong to an apostate church. It doesn't say if you continue in anything else other than in my word. If you get to John chapter 15 and verse 7, you're going to note something. God's word continues in us and we continue in God's word. If you go back to John chapter 6 and verse 66, you're going to read that many turned back from following Jesus. And it was because of the things he was saying. It was because of his word. If you go to Matthew chapter 13 and read the parable of the soils, you will read that many people discontinue because of the word. Persecution arises. It's because of the word. And so Jesus is saying, continue in my word, the very thing that brings persecution. If ye continue in it, people know that having high moral standards does not make them a Christian. But when they realize that a Christian should have high moral standards, they defect. Being a disciple of Christ means I deny myself. It means I take up my cross daily, Luke 9 and verse 23. Being a disciple of Christ means perhaps loss of my family. In fact, sometimes it may mean loss of life, Luke 14, 26. So what does it mean when Jesus says, continue in my word? I believe two things. First of all, that I study God's word. I am a student of God's word. I understand that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe that we are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. I believe what it says in 2 Timothy 2:15 when it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what it means to allow the word of God to continue in you. Or for you to continue in his word. And that is not just for the preacher. It's not just for the Sunday school teacher. It's for all believers. But even just studying God's word is not enough. We must secondly obey it. We must obey it. Notice in verse 32, Jesus is going to say, the truth shall make you free. The reason there is no spiritual freedom in many people's lives is because they may be biblically literate, but they're not biblically obedient. They can tell you many things about the Bible. They can play Bible trivia and win the game. They're biblically literate, but they're biblically disobedient. If somebody hears the word of God but does not obey it, he is not continuing in it. He is not abiding in it. Good illustration of this is to go to the book of Judges. You want one of the most frustrating books to read in the Bible is not Leviticus. It's Judges. Because you want to go back in history and hit these people in the face and say, what is your problem? What is their problem, folks? Disobedience. Time and again, God tells them, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you through the Red Sea. I brought you across the Jordan River to inhabit this land. And I told you when you get to this land, dispossess these people. Get rid of them. And you would not obey. So here's what I'm going to do. These people are going to live among you and they're going to be thorns in your side. They were disobedient. So did they have freedom? You talk about slavery. time and again, they're brought under the authority of some wicked king. You've heard of Deborah and Barak. You've heard of Samson. You've heard of Gideon. You've heard of Ehud. You've heard of some of these judges that God would have mercy on his people and finally say, okay, I'm going to send a judge to judge you. And so long as there was a good judge and the people were obeying, they lived in freedom. But once they gave up and became disobedient, they lived in slavery. The object of Menno is to continue in my word. That means obey it. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He says in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. In John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Don't talk about how much you love the Lord if you don't keep his commandments. You're a liar. John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Luke 11:28, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. 1 John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, when I keep his commandments. So, if you are presented a scriptural truth that contradicts your belief, or it contradicts your action, if you continue in his word, you will change accordingly. That is continuing in my word. You've got some habit in your life that contradicts scripture. You have some kind of an idea in your mind that contradicts scripture. There's some kind of a practice in your life that contradicts scripture. If the word of God is presented to you, and you are confronted with the truth, and you say, I don't like that, I'm not going to do that, you are not continuing in his word. It's disobedience. You know what you're going to live in? Verse 32, you're going to live in slavery. You're going to be enslaved to that sin. Anything that you need for living is found in the scriptures. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything I know, I need to know, I know through the word of God. And yet we have pill-popping Christians. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul popping pills? I'm not talking about something the doctor prescribed for a physical problem. I'm talking about something a doctor prescribes because you have a mental problem, which is really a spiritual problem. And so we take Prozac or we take tranquilizers and we take all these kinds of other things because of anxiety and so forth that are in our lives. Imagine the Apostle Paul popping pills because of all the stress he was under. Was he under stress? Were people trying to kill him? Was he being shipwrecked? Was he being whipped? If anybody had an excuse for popping pills, it was the Apostle Paul. And here at the end of his life, he's about to be beheaded or somehow killed in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so he writes this letter to Timothy and he's requesting some things. You know what he requests for Timothy to bring to him? When thou comest, bring with thee the books, but especially the parchments. He didn't say bring the prescriptions. He said bring the parchments. The word of God. The object of Menno. In my word. And then we see lastly the effect of Menno. What is the effect that will take place when you continue in his word? Three things that Jesus gives us right here. Then are ye my disciples indeed. Let's call that identification. Then are ye my disciples indeed. The word disciples indicates a learner, an adherent, somebody who adheres to the master. And then he uses this word, then are ye my disciples. But it doesn't stop there. He uses a word, indeed. What is that word, indeed? If you look it up, as I taught some weeks ago, take your Strong's Concordance, look up the word indeed, find the word indeed, go to the number that takes you to the back that gives you the Greek word, and it gives you some of the other synonyms that are used. What's another word that is used? It's the word actually. In reality. Then are you actually my disciples? We use the word actually to correct or give facts. That's why I used my statement earlier in this message. Not all who profess to believe in Christ are actually disciples of Christ. They're not disciples indeed. You see, folks, genuine conversion is indicated by believing that does not stop. If somebody truly believes in Christ and they truly got saved, that believing never stops. The present tense of the word believe always indicates genuine faith. It indicates continuous action. In fact, I like the way the King James Version indicates the continuous action on the word believe. You know how it does it? It adds the letters E-T-H. He that believeth. It's continuous action. For example, would you quote with me John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, present action, believeth in Me, should not perish but have everlasting life. You go down to John 3:18, same word is used. You go to John 3:36, same word. John 6:35, John 6:40, John 6:47, John 7:38, John 11:25, 26, 12:44, 46, 14:12, 17:20. All of these verses, and I know you're not trying to write them down, I hope. All of those verses use the word believeth. That indicates genuine conversion. Here we have verse 30, as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Oh, it was temporary. It was like, oh yeah, oh, what He just said, oh, we believe that. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. Not believing, not they were not believing in Him. The present tense is not used in chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. And the context indicates that their belief was not genuine. How do we know? They did not continue. Look at their response to Jesus' word. Because Jesus continues to speak. That's His word. Through the end of the chapter. Let's look at these Jews and what it says in verse 30. Many believed on Him. Well, let's see what kind of a belief this is. Jesus said what He said in verses 31 and 32. Look what they said in verse 33. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Look at verse 39. They answered and said unto Him, same people, Abraham is our father. Look at verse 41. Then said they to Him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father. And then He says in verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. Whoa, I thought these were genuine believers. Now Jesus knows who they are. Look at these same Jews in verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto Him, say we not well, thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Here they were just a few moments before saying, we believe. And now they're saying, you've got a devil. Verse 52, then said the Jews unto Him, now we know you have a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Keep going. Look at verse 57. Then said the Jews unto Him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And verse 59. They're ready to stone Him. Who? The Jews of verse 30, of whom it says they believed on Him. How fickle some professing believers actually are. And where were these people when He was being taken before Pilate? Were they not among the crowd saying, crucify Him, crucify Him? What is the effect of continuing in His word? First of all, identification. Secondly, illumination. He says in verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. This is more than simply knowing what is true. It is knowing the truth. How do you know the truth? Continue in my word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ye shall know the truth about what? You will know who God is. You will know who you are. You're going to find out your nature. You're going to know the way of salvation. You're going to know the way of Christian living because you're going to be united with Him who is truth. What is the effect of continuing in God's word? Identification, illumination, and lastly, independence. And the truth shall make you free. That implies, ladies and gentlemen, that before you believed, you were in bondage. Because it is the truth that will make you free. It's a warning sign to me when people refuse to admit that before salvation they were slaves to sin. Well, I was a pretty good person. I really wasn't that bad. Listen, you are a slave to sin according to the Bible. To be free, the truth shall make you free. To be free is not to do as you wish, but to do what you know you should do. There are those who mock Christians for not being free to do whatever they want to do. Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, you guys, you're enslaved to that religion. Hey, find out about that person a little bit. You know what you're going to find out about him? He's a slave to sin. You're going to find out that that's the very person who is a slave shackled to sin. A slave who is shackled to some church or some religion or some human tradition or some kind of a habit he cannot break. He's the slave. Understand something about those who mock narrow-minded believers. They think they are free. These Jews did. Look what they said in verse 33. We be Abraham's seed. We never were in bondage. They think they're free. But they're actually in bondage. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. There's nothing worse than slavery. But slavery alone is not the worst part. It's to whom are you a slave? Because when you get saved, you become a slave of Christ. It's kind of a paradoxical. I am free when I am a slave to Jesus Christ. I am in bondage when I am a slave to sin. If you habitually commit sin, you are a slave to it. That's what Jesus says in verse 34. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, I was talking about the present tense just a minute ago. That is in the present tense, which actually means whosoever practices sin is the servant of sin. And there's no more cruel master than sin. So, the question is this. Who is a genuine disciple? Someone who says, I believe. Not according to what Jesus said. A genuine disciple will not only believe in Christ, he will continue in Christ. He will continue in His Word. It is not the one who runs fast and furious at the beginning, but the one who at the end is still running. I used to think I could impress my football coach when he would have us do sprints at the end of football practice. And I would give it all I had right at the very beginning. But I didn't know how long he was going to make a sprint. We would do the 10, then we'd do the 20, then we'd do the 40, then we'd do the 50. And I was making sure I could outrun all the other guys the best I could. But then it was at the end we were doing the 100, and I was lagging behind. It's not the one who starts well, it's the one who at the end is still running. Time and wear will test out a piece of metal. Is the metal plated or is it solid? Likewise, time and wear tests out believers. Is he a surface believer or is he true to the core? What about you? Do you put on a face, even as a member of this church? Put on a face that you're a believer? Are you continuing in His Word? Is obedience to His Word not just a Sunday thing, but an all-week thing? Convicting, isn't it? If you continue in My Word, then you're actually My disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Father, we thank You